Poverty must not be a bar to learning, and learning must offer an escape from poverty.
The Worth Report, featuring Nick Wharton and Glenn Wright.
7 of 10 graduating students left college last year in debt. The total bill due for students in America tops $1 trillion.
Student loan debt, if we're just talking about the amount owed for undergrad, is about $27,000 per student. For postgraduate, it'd be as high as $200,000. Right now, we have $1.2 trillion worth of debt. We have over 40 million individual loans sitting out there, and 8 million of them are in default. What we're not seeing is there's another 30% right below that are in deferment of one kind type or another. So we're heading for a place where maybe as high as 50% of all student loans are not being paid timely back to the U.S. Treasury. Now, if that were a corporation, if that were a country, we would have an issue.
We'll take a look at the past, present, and future of the financial landscape and discuss how it affects you, your family, the world around you, and most importantly, your retirement.
It is the most collectible kind of debt there is. It is non-dischargeable in bankruptcy. They will garnish your wages. They will intercept your tax refunds. They will sue you in court.
This is The Worth Report. Now, here are your hosts, Nick Wharton and Glenn Wright.
Good Saturday, and welcome to The Worth Report. If it's Saturday morning, it's The Worth Report. I'm your host, Nick Wharton, along with Glenn Wright, founder and president of Worth Financial. Each week, we'll bring you news that you can immediately use to manage your financial planning and offer commentary on local, national, and global events that affect your ability to sustain your financial future. Glenn, how are you doing this morning?
I am fantastic. Happy to be on The Worth Report. So much positive information is going on. So many things that our listeners need to know about. So very excited and happy to be here so we can share some really good stuff with them. Really happy and excited about today's topic, too.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're coming past Mother's Day, and every year when this time comes, I know it's also time for graduations.
Pull out the caps and gowns.
University, this is it. And this is a culmination of a lot of hard work. And then, of course, they're out in the real world and have to deal with managing their financial resources. And so I understand you were a keynote speaker at an incredible event for seniors at Johnson & Wales University, where you talked about financial planning and all the things that we live and breathe here. So what was that like for you?
It was fantastic. We're very active in the community. We want to make sure if we can be a blessing to help anybody, then we certainly want to do it. So we were called upon by colleagues of ours to come and speak to some graduating seniors about what things are out there that they have to look forward to and what obstacles are they going to have to overcome. So very excited. I mean, the group was very attentive and listening. And, you know, I remember when I was 21, 22 years old, I don't know if I would have listened the way they did. They were taking notes. And I mean, it was fantastic. And I said, wow, these folks are going to be millionaires. You know, the way they're taking notes and the way they talked about how they're going to listen and start budgeting and all these things that we discussed. So it was very exciting. It was very, very exciting. I've had the chance and opportunity and the blessing to speak many times all over the place. And sometimes when you talk about finance, you hear crickets. I mean, it's nothing.
Absolutely.
You know, because it can be sometimes intimidating. But if you can start that young and really get going, oh, it makes a tremendous difference. In fact, the first question I asked them, Nick, was Albert Einstein said, what is the greatest invention? I asked that question. Nick, do you happen to know that answer? Take a guess. This is Albert Einstein now.
What's the question again?
The atom bomb guy. He had a thought or an opinion on what was the greatest invention in mankind's history. Albert Einstein.
I have no idea.
Pop-Tarts.
Yep. our producer's something else. Nope.
Oh, he's something else.
Yeah. compounding. The ability to compound.
Really?
So when you take that into the financial spectrum, now we're saying compound interest. So compound interest is the greatest invention. How $1 invested can turn into $2 can turn into $3 and so forth. So these folks, these kids are getting ready to go out to the workforce. They're going to start working. They're 9 to 5. And it's good to also have your money working for you just as hard as you are. And the early bird truly catches the worm. And the challenge of what most of them have to think of is their mothers, their grandmothers, Social Security is not going to be the same for them. Their mothers or grandfathers or fathers, Medicare is not going to be the same for them. In fact, their health insurance has already changed for them. Their taxes, all of these things are going to change. So they're going to have to focus on that, Nick. They've got three options to help them for their retirement. We've talked about this in the past. We've got your employer, your government, and you. Listeners, who do you trust the most? Hopefully it's yourself. That's what I hope. So because that's what you have to depend on, and that's what we talked about at that session. And then we opened it up for questions and answers, and they asked a ton of them. So that made me very happy.
Wow. Well, yeah, as I mentioned to you before the show, I had a chance to speak at the Chamber of Commerce on workforce development, and we were looking at talent gaps. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about the millennials.
Uh-oh.
And the kinds of issues that keep them up at night. So I'm going to ask you this question. So here you are talking to these young people about, you know, financial matters. And the current debt crisis in student loans.
Oh, man.
That's got to be hovering above their heads. And it probably sort of not really dulls the excitement of graduation, but it's got to be on their minds.
It is. There was a freshman who found their way into the group some type of way. And
wow.
Which I was impressed.
A freshman, I love it.
And let me tell you, they asked a question. He asked a question about staying in school because of the cost of school.
Did he really? Wow.
And my answer was simply this. You need to stay in school because the cost of not having an education is astronomically different than the cost of a student loan. Okay. And as we look at health, which we talked about in previous episodes of our show, we look at future health and you look at the health of someone who has gotten a college education, who right. tends to make a little bit more money versus someone who only has a high school education, then they typically die sooner. Because they have less education, not just because of that, but because of the gap of money.
That's correct.
The $1 million difference that one person is going to make versus the other. So that means now you're living in a neighborhood that may not have the best schools, that may not have the best grocery store options. Mm-hmm. You may not be able to afford to have the most nutritious foods. So now later on in life,
that's right.
that comes back to bite you. That comes
that's
back
right.
to bite your family as well, your children.
Right.
So now you have medical issues
sure.
that become very, very expensive.
That's right.
So I mm-hmm. urge that person to definitely stay in school, even if it costs you taking out student loans in order to accomplish your goals.
Well, that must have been sobering. I know that you know, those with associate degree earn 20% more than those with just a high school degree.
Wow.
And those with a bachelor's degree earn 56% more than those with a high school degree, and so forth and so on. So clearly it is an investment in one's future, but it is mm-hmm. pretty daunting. And you can see that by the crowds that Bernie Sanders is amassing all over the country.
Feel the burn.
That, you know, just the idea that, you know, there'd be free, you know, college, you know, tuition, which is pretty bizarre. But I get it when you look around the world at developed countries. We're one of the few that hasn't gone this route. But the cost of higher education is so expensive. It's gone up almost 100 times over the last 15 years. And so how are young people able to keep pace?
Well, I'm going to say this, Nick. Think about, we've had free education before in a very powerful way. When most individuals had to go to war, then they came out with the GI Bill.
That's correct.
So people were able to buy homes, to build wealth. People were able to go to school. and build wealth. And this was, we were in front of the world by doing this. So now we have one of the most educated societies in history by doing this. And our enterprise, our manufacturing sectors, all the sectors in our economy were able to benefit off of that.
Well, that's such a good point.
But we got away from that. That's the problem. So we need to do something, in my opinion, to bring that back so we can make sure that we are being proactive and in favor of people getting a good education to lift up our society.
Well, see, you're spot on with that. And let's just say that let's say it comes back. We hope it would be enforced more equitably because, you know, in actuality, when we look deeply into this issue of how the GI Bill was structured to help all, actually African-Americans and many others were discriminated against and weren't able to access that because of discrimination and redlining and a whole range of policies and practices.
That's right.
That really created the early underpinnings of this wealth gap.
Absolutely.
That we're dealing with today, this inability to transfer wealth. Because if you weren't, you know, if you weren't able to access that, then how would you be able to amass the wealth that many people have up to today?
That's right. That's
so
right.
It's an interesting challenge.
That's right.
To make a country more inclusive and more equitable.
You know, it's funny. I asked my my grandfather this before he passed years ago. And I said, what's the reason why so many people in my neighborhood idolize a Cadillac? You know, I said, Cadillac's a car. You know, for what reason are you going to idolize a Cadillac? He told me, he said, we couldn't buy a home because we weren't able to qualify for mortgages. We couldn't get a home at the time. So, but what they would allow us to get was a Cadillac. So even though we were renting, the house could be falling down. If we had a Cadillac, then that showed that we made it.
Isn't that something?
Woo, man.
That's heavy.
So, yeah, I just.
That's heavy.
That's very heavy and unfortunate. Right. So I'm definitely feeling you there.
And the irony of that is that, you know, in sort of pop culture over the years, we sort of flipped this reality into a stereotype about African-Americans and folk in big cars. But in actuality, that was a real way in which we were able to demonstrate that we are arriving, that we have done something because we weren't able to access the resources that others had.
That's right. And I'll tell you something else about bad trends. And that's, you know, I had to pay for mine. And now they have to pay for theirs. I think that's ridiculous for a parent to say that. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. I think a parent, if you're going to have a child, it's important to give them everything they need to be successful. And success means at least helping them for an undergraduate degree to some form of fashion.
Well, I can applaud that. I can that was our decree to our children, that our goal would be to help them to earn an undergraduate degree. Certainly, we'd partner with them as they went to graduate school, but we certainly would not be taking on the lion's share of that.
Right.
But undergraduate, we were all in. And thanks be to God, you know, they all graduated with undergraduate degrees.
Wow. That's fantastic. And that's because they had, you know, you and Regina to help usher that, to make that happen and give them a foundation. So that's the first thing that, you know, if you have children, you need to start saving for college education for them.
Absolutely.
Now, depending on where you are, however, in your life will determine where you need to save. So let's give you a couple of examples of where you can go with this. One is there's a 529 plan. A 529 plan is a state-sponsored college education funding vehicle where you can put money into. You can put up to $56,000 into this at one time. You can put a lot of money into 529 plans per child.
Wow.
Okay. The benefit of this, it's for federally, it's after-tax dollars. Depending on what state you are in, then you can get a state income credit. We used to be able to get it in North Carolina. You can't get that anymore. They moved that away.
And
so
why is that? That's yet another interesting phenomenon in North Carolina. Why is that?
Well, there's a lot of reasons why, Nick, but that was one of the first things that was changed by our mayor, by our governor.
I see.
Although the cost of our institutions continued to rise, but that was something that was taken away. Go figure, right?
Wow, just a moment of pause for that.
Come on. So that's one thing. So now you're saving this money in this account. The money grows tax deferred, meaning if it grows from $1,000, it draws interest and it grows to $2,000, then you don't have to pay any tax on that. Pretty good.
That's real good.
And as long, let's say it grows to $10,000 from $1,000, fantastic. You can invest this in mutual funds. Typically, that's the vehicle that's used. Then when you take that money out and you use it for qualified expenses for school, college expenses, then you don't have to pay any tax on any of that money ever. So that's the benefit of it. Mm-hmm. That's the benefit of it.
Wow. So let me ask you a question. Yeah. When I think about that freshman student, when you raise that question, it just stuck with me.
Really, okay.
You know, here's a young man who comes to a program for seniors and puts that in the room, that question. So, you know, how would you advise that young person? I mean, obviously, they're probably dependent on their parents. You know, if he's a first-time college goer, the parents don't know what they don't know. Here's a student trying to make it happen here. In terms of how would you advise them?
First thing is to look at, when I first started, I used to work for Tennessee Student Aid Corporation. And what I found for freshmen, 80% of all scholarships and fellowships and grants are for incoming freshmen or people in their freshman year. So you can Google now. It's a lot easier than when I was in college. You can Google now all the scholarship information for your particular state and your institution, and you can look to see what's available. There are hundreds of millions of dollars that are available that go unfunded each and every year for college education. And that's only because people aren't looking for the money. But go find the money. Google it. You can find it. If you qualify, if your parents don't make a lot of money, you can qualify for Pell Grants and different grants that may be available for you. Look for other types of financial aid that may be available that you don't have to pay back. But then if you need to get financial aid, then borrow only what you need to get by. Don't borrow a whole bunch of extra money just so you can live and kick it with your friends who have two parents who make a lot of money. You want to make sure you only borrow what you need for college and only pay that, so you only have to pay that money back.
Wow, what great advice. I mean, your session with those students must have been amazing.
Oh, man, it was powerful. And then can you imagine that freshman? I mean, I was touched by that person coming up to me. That person was at a crossroads on making a decision. And, you know, God found enough favor for me to be in the room to help that person to give that. So I told them to feel free to call us. And we'll help them in any way possible. So, you know, talking about 529 plans, another area that I want to talk about pretty quickly is life insurance. People, you can use life insurance. Maybe you have a kid where 4-year college is not in their future. Okay. And you may be concerned that this person may not go to college. Okay, and they may want that may have to get a trade or something else. No problem. A 529 may not make sense for you. However, you can use life insurance as a vehicle, a cash value life insurance policy. The money grows tax deferred. You can take out money in a loan income tax free, and never a loan that you, if it's structured properly, you never have to pay it back. And you don't have the restrictions of the 529 plan that you have to use it for college. Because if that person does not go to college, then you can use that money for whatever you want to. So that's another option. Then you have CDs that are available as well. And some college savings bonds are also options for kids to use.
Outstanding. Glenn, this is great. This has been great information. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk a little bit more about the student debt and how students can manage their financial affairs much better. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Giving you financial news you can use.
This is The Worth Report
with Nick Wharton and Glenn Wright.
I've just never been fluent in finances. Let's face it. I can make money, and I'm really good at spending money. But beyond that, not so much. But that's where Worth Financial, Glenn Wright, and his team come in. You see, when it comes to financial literacy, they're like translators. They've helped me understand my finances and how I can make my finances work for me now, tomorrow, and well into the future. And they can do the same for you. In fact, I'd encourage you to pick up the phone right now and call Worth Financial. You'll be doing yourself a huge favor. So call 704-731-0121. That's 704-731-0121. Or simply visit worthadvisors.com. That's worthadvisors.com. Hey, there's nothing wrong with speaking a new language.
Financial news you can use. This is the Worth Report. Now, back to your host, Nick Wharton and Glenn Wright.
Welcome back to the Worth Report. Glenn, let's get back into this conversation about student debt. So let's just look at this this young person who's graduated from college. They've been out maybe 4 years, maybe even gotten a master's degree.
Okay.
And have really amassed quite a bit of debt. And they really need to figure out how best are they going to do the things in their life that they'd like to do with this debt hanging over their heads.
Well, the first thing, Nick, is to make sure that they're paying their fair share on time, because you can't even get a job if you have bad credit now. So when it's on your credit report, you can't file bankruptcy against student loans, no matter how much debt you have. So it's important that you set a debt payment schedule. And it's based upon now, since President Obama has been in office, it's based upon your income. So if you only make a certain amount of income, then you could have a ton of debt, then your payment plan will be affected that way. So it will be a lot less. So that's certainly a positive.
Because I even learned you can't even get an apartment in many cities because your score is so high. And how do you help them manage these kinds of things?
So first thing you have to do is look at your budget. And the student loans need to be part of it. Most of us don't like debt. So the goal, and what I've heard other financial planners talk about, is work on paying all the debt off as soon as possible. Student loans don't apply to that, to me. I believe, because first of all, even the highest rates you'll normally see for student loans, and I'm talking about the Sallie Mae loans, 6, 7, 8%. The first thing you want to do is to see if you can consolidate those loans. As soon as you graduate, maybe 2 or 3 months, go ahead and see if you can consolidate those loans and get a lower interest rate. So after you do that, then follow the payment plan. Don't pay any more money than what you have to pay. Start saving that excess money. You know, remember, the budget is income minus my expenses equals my disposable income. Take that income and save it and put the amount of money you need to pay your bills. Save the difference. Build that 6 to 12 month emergency reserve, because when life happens, when the car breaks down, when the hot water heater breaks down, when you need a new roof, when someone in your family is in dire straits and they need money, then you need to be able to have something in place to be able to accomplish that without getting further and further in debt. See, the problem, Nick, is when and again, following the advice of people who always say to pay down all your debt, pay all your money towards your debt. The problem is this: you work hard, you put all your money towards your debt. So now your debt's paid off. Congratulations. You're on your way home. In fact, you're going to stop by a restaurant to go ahead and celebrate. And then the car breaks down. OK, now you have to get the car fixed. Right. What do? You don't have any money saved because you put it all on the debt. So you're going to have to get right back in debt, the same cycle. And now you just may throw your hands up and say, forget it. We've seen it happen time and time again. So as you're paying your debt, start saving your money. I don't care if it's $10. Start saving your money systematically, meaning every pay period, you're going to save something. So when I spoke with the seniors who are working, they aren't making much money yet. I told them to start saving, get yourself in the habit of saving something. That way, when the perils of life happen, when things happen, you have something that's going to be available. The next one is, now that we've got the student loans handled, we've got some savings handled. The goal is to get interest as low as possible. So not only do you consolidate your student loans, but it's time to play what I call the 0% game if you have credit cards. If you have credit cards at 15, 19, 21%, you have good credit, go ahead and find the credit cards that are out there. We've talked about this before. The Citi Simplicities, the Chase Slates out there, to get 0% interest for 15 to 21 months. And then work hard to pay those credit cards off during that allotted time. So now you aren't paying any interest. If, for instance, let me give you an example. Let's say you have $1,500 of debt out there that you can't pay off. You can roll that amount over to, let's say, the Citi Simplicity card. They give you 15 months to pay it off, okay, at 0%. That means you're going to pay $100 per month to pay that credit card off. You say, Glenn, I have $200 a month. I could pay it off faster. You don't want to do that. It says 0%. Put the $100 per month in there and save the $100 in your savings, because I promise you something will happen. You may need it one day. And if not, then you're able to save and invest it for the future.
Wow, that is just spot on advice. Wow, I could see a young person implementing that. I could see a young person actually feeling good about hearing that.
I hope so, Nick. The real issue was this, and we talked about this in the beginning of our show. There's so many perils that are out here that are facing us. Social Security is not going to be the same. Medicare, again, is not going to be the same. So if we know this, if we believe tax rates are going up, in fact, right now, our highest tax rate, 39.6%, 39.6%. Our modern day tax code is 102 years, okay? So, again, the highest tax rate, 39.6%. If you took the average of the highest tax rate over the last 100 years, what do you think the average would be, Nick? The average highest tax rate right now was 39.6%. What do you think the average is?
20%.
Will said what? Our producer?
I was going
to say 35%. Okay, 35%. Nick said 20%. The average, 58.6%. What? In the 60s, 70s, and 80s, we actually paid our debts in our economy. So the highest tax rates were as high as 94%. There are only a couple families that actually paid that, but that was the highest tax rate. So there's a lot of room for tax rates to go up. So if we know these things, what are we going to do about it? The first thing that each and every listener can do is start saving their money to get prepared, because the government's not going to do it for you. Sorry to tell you that. You know, I don't care who's going to be the president. They're only going to do so much. Right.
Go ahead anyway.
OK. And you still got to save your money, though, Nick.
I agree. I just need to say that.
Okay, I knew something was coming from you. And guess what? You can have the best employer in the world. Doesn't matter. It's all up to you. You are the engine that's going to drive you where you need to go.
Well, all right. I'm getting in the car, and we're going to drive.
Let's do it.
Well,
this has
been a great show, great education, and absolutely news that you can use. Glenn, I'll see you next week, man.
See you next week.
This has been The Worth Report with your host, Nick Wharton and Glenn Wright. To learn more about Worth Financial and to speak to one of their advisors, call 704-731-0121. That's 704-731-0121. Or log on to worthadvisors.com. That's worthadvisors.com. Content from today's show was taken from the Fox News Business Channel, as well as Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. I've just never been fluent in finances. Let's face it, I can make money, and I'm really good at spending money. But beyond that, not so much. But that's where Worth Financial, Glenn Wright, and his team come in. You see, when it comes to financial literacy, they're like translators. They've helped me understand my finances and how I can make my finances work for me now, tomorrow, and well into the future. And they can do the same for you. In fact, I'd encourage you to pick up the phone right now and call Worth Financial. You'll be doing yourself a huge favor. So call 704-731-0121. That's 704-731-0121. Or simply visit worthadvisors.com. That's worthadvisors.com. Hey, there's nothing wrong with speaking a new language.